You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'm really grateful for the thorough man that this is as a journalist joining us, because he has done good, noble work that is really hard to stay after. And I don't think I have this wrong as Jim DeRogatis joins us. And we've told you about his book before. I don't think anyone, Jim, I don't have this wrong, right? I don't think anyone has done more vigorous reporting in this country on everything that happened around R. Kelly. I feel like you're most responsible for bringing him to justice, the attention that you brought to this cause.
Well, I've been on the story longest, since November of 2000. But, you know, Dan, I've said this in the past, pointed out to you, it was the many brave women who had the courage to do the most difficult thing a woman can do, is trust a fat white rock journalist to tell their story of their sexual abuse at great, great pain from their own communities, from their churches, from their schools, from their friends. Nobody wanted to destroy this man. And that's how he was able to prey on young women for 30 years. The sentence he got last week, 30 years in prison on the first of two federal trials, that's a little less than a year for every year he victimized women since victim number one in 1991.
Let's tell the story, though, for the audience that does not know it. And his book, Soulless, The Case Against R. Kelly, is much of, you've seen the documentary, perhaps, but the book is very good. I've read it, and I would recommend it to you because it is his, I don't have this wrong, right? It's your life's work. You dedicated how much time to make sure that America understood that black girls were being preyed upon?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think any journalist starts a story that is this important and doesn't finish it. To be clear, Dad, I've done other things. I mean, Sound Opinions is on 150 public radio stations. It's me and the former music critic from the Tribune, Siskel and Ebert, and I've written 10 books. I wish I could stop talking about this. I think now with 30-year sentence, effectively life in prison for Kelly, maybe this story is coming to an end. But the bigger ramifications linger. You know, we don't believe women. We especially don't believe young black girls. And I'm only amplifying what they've told me for decades. They're just not believed, not seen as victims in our society.
And you wish you could talk about other things? You wish you could leave this? Some part of this is a burden for you where you're saying I'd like this to not be something I still had to talk about it? Or are you saying because we've healed it?
No, I'd like to not have to talk about it because I love music and I think about the power of music, Dan. I'd rather have a half hour chat with you about that great Wet Leg album, Two Young Women from the Isle of Wight. It's the album of the year. Amazing. So far, and we're only halfway through. To think that this predator is now convicted and sentenced, the biggest predator in the history of popular music, where men have been mistreating women, as in your field of sports, from the era of the Bobby Soxers, okay? no one has ever been convicted of the breadth and width and depth of the crimes of Robert Sylvester Kelly. You know, 100 women whose names I know, lives ruined since 1991 in full glare of the brightest spotlight of world stardom while selling 100 million albums. How did that happen? And the answer, yeah, is in the book. The courts in Chicago failed. He was acquitted in 2008 of making child pornography, despite the most horrifying evidence I've ever seen, a half-hour videotape of him victimizing a 14-year-old. The schools failed. They let him come and visit the sophomore choir class and pick up high school students. All but a handful of cops in Chicago failed. We heard at the federal trial that several worked security for him at double or triple their salary and turned a blind eye. Journalism failed. It was only the Chicago Sun-Times that stayed on the story. The Black Church failed. They took his money. The Reverend James Meeks, the right-hand man of Jesse Jackson, was his spiritual advisor, appearing on TV with him and bringing kindergartners to his court appearances in free R. Kelly t-shirts. You know, and most of all, the music industry failed. It's like the sports industry. You know, I mean, people have turned a blind eye to abuse as long as the abuser was generating money.
Jim, you're going to have to forgive me for typecasting you because I have mined your expertise on this story for a while. So I will tell the audience that he's a music critic and he's the co-host, as he said, of Sound Opinions. And as I mentioned, Soulless, the case against R. Kelly, I think was important reporting. And he's always quick to remind us that it was the women being brave against the system, leaning against them, that called him as a journalist. You felt you must be a bridge to this story, too important as work. And you want to be talking about other things. And the next time, I'm promising you, the next time we will talk about other things in exchange for mining you one more time. Because
So you and I have chatted several times, Dan, and it's always a smart interview, and I appreciate your attention. I have a question for you. First time I've gotten to ask you a question. Why do you think it's important on your show to talk about R. Kelly? Because I'm sure you get emails and voicemails and the hate mail I get and the hate mail the women get, saying, you know, what are you wasting my time on this?
Oh, because it's just important that people hear from somebody who has done the important journalistic work of listening and gathering facts and doing journalism that is caring, but not necessarily activism, but trying to be objective, just getting a people heard. It's your expertise is something that I believe is a bridge to telling the most honest stories that can't be refuted, because you've knocked on all the doors. You saw up close how the community protected a star because Black people didn't want to tear down R. Kelly. They didn't. And so you went in and did the work. And I want people again and again to realize that the thing you're saying again and again is these Black women had families and lives and should have been loved and they should have been protected, and everyone failed them. And here's how.
Well, that's absolutely true. And it strikes me that when I started, when Kelly started his victimization, Dr. Anita Hill testified on Capitol Hill and with credible accusations of sexual harassment, and she was not believed. And when this thing came to a head again, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford was testifying on Capitol Hill with credible accusations of sexual assault, and she was not believed. And now two men sit on the Supreme Court and took away a woman's right to control her own body 2 weeks ago. The ramifications of the Kelly story run deep in society, and they're much bigger than even the worst predator in the history of popular music.
Jim, I have a question. So you've been reporting on the music industry for a long time. Do you see any mistakes in the way that us as sports journalists cover athletes, and especially athletes who have had accusations of sexual violence or domestic violence against them?
I think it's a matter of access often. You don't want to be kicked off the bus or the plane for the sports team that you were covering. And this is, I mean, that goes back, what was that Bolton book, right? You know, the stuff that happens in the clubhouse, you don't want to shine a light on it. I think many people in the music press do not want to be shut off from access to these stars. It's the same, you know, being in Chicago, I've had many friends work at the Sun-Times and the Tribune on the sports beats. And what they sometimes say about X superstar, I've always wondered, why am I not reading that in the newspaper? And that access is the reason why. You know, often it's trivial stuff. So-and-so has a gambling problem. So-and-so loves to cheat on his wife. When it's more serious, when it's a man abusing his fame and power to destroy the lives of 14, 15, 16-year-old girls for three decades, that's when I think journalism has an obligation. You know, I am sickened to this day by how few of my colleagues on the music beat ever dived into or forwarded any element of the Kelly story.
But I guess it's in some ways, you know, an indictment on us as journalists that I feel like one of the things that's most difficult to cover here is the victim aspect of it, because there, you know, the famous person is usually the culprit. Right. And so that's where the institution begins. And then there are several institutions that are trying to get in the way of it. So very often last in what we talk about are the victims here. How much have you had to almost work extra to make them the center, or I guess the priority in your coverage, as opposed to whatever the celebrity or the industry aspects of this are?
I think that's always overstated. You know, I look at me, I'm a fat white rock critic with a lot of band tattoos on my arms. Okay. I am not part of the Black community. I am a man. You know, what I found is that women were not being listened to by anyone in their lives, including the authorities. And what I heard again and again and again is, thank you for listening to me. No one believed me. They came to me. And I think as a reporter, you have to have, you have to be accessible to people. And that means phone calls on Thanksgiving morning. And that means phone calls on New Year's Eve. And that, I, you know, I never didn't answer the phone. What is striking in so many of the women I've interviewed, 68 of them, what I heard again and again and again, besides I was a young Black girl, no one was going to believe me, is, I want to destroy that MF-er. It was always, brother has a problem, brother needs help, brother has to be stopped. There was no hatred for this man. His music deeply touched people. And I understand the difficulty. If Step in the Name of Love was your wedding song, and I Believe I Can Fly played at your kid's graduation from kindergarten, and you know, Ignition Remix powered every backyard barbecue you ever went to, that music is yours as much as it is his. So the love of the music forgave a lot, because this was the worst kept secret in Chicago for 30 years. People just did not want to believe. And I think often, you know, that we're in the era of not believing facts, alternative facts. You know, I'll just tune out the stuff that's unpleasant.
You mentioned the iconic nature of some of his music. A lot of that happened as well after the Michael Jackson documentary aired on HBO. What is your relationship with music that comes from people who have done things like this? I think the easiest answer is you get rid of it. But for a lot of people, you mentioned that emotional connection. It's not always that straightforward.
Well, I don't think there's a wrong and a right in art at any time. If people say that music was part of my life, I continue to listen to it, but I condemn what he did, I don't think they're wrong. If other people say I can't listen to it because it makes me sick to my stomach, I don't think they're necessarily right. I think each of us has to make our own decision. My life would be much poorer without Michael Jackson's music up until the last two albums of his career, History and Invincible, are full of songs of him protesting his innocence of accusations of molesting young boys. You know, media, do your job, don't crucify me. Taking on the Santa Barbara County DA by name. I think it's really singular, those cases where we can't separate the art and the artist. you know, Jackson's final albums are one example. Woody Allen's Manhattan, where an older comedian chases a high school girl. And Kelly's catalog, which champions an unfettered vision of hedonism that says, I will take my pleasure wherever I desire, and I do not care who I hurt. And if you're doubting me, go back to the title he gave the album he wrote and produced for Aaliyah when she was 15. And in a court of law, we finally have him convicted for abusing her at 15 years old. He called that album Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Take us back to 2008 after the acquittal. How do you keep this story alive and like keep going back to victims and keeping it kind of in the news cycle after, you know, the court of law has already declared this person innocent? And I imagine that it would be difficult to kind of pitch this to your editors when it feels like it's
settled. You say fairly casually, I don't know, I'm very disappointed in my fellow music critics not advancing this story. It requires resources, and you have to be indefatigable about draping yourself in the crusade and the energy of these women who are trying to explain something to you that nobody talks about.
Well, you know, I disagree with that. I mean, there was a lot of, there were civil lawsuits, and that's a trip down to Cook County Courthouse to read these accusations in black and white. There was the videotape, which was available for sale on street corners for 6 months before it was deemed child pornography and he was indicted. You know, it was always there. And I think that hip white rock critics especially began to portray Kelly as sort of shtick. You know, he was the sexual predator, but he was the sexual super freak, he called himself. He was the Pied Piper of R&B, you know, trapped in the closet, sex with a sex with a cop, you know, cheating on, you know, they began to see it as shtick and not think about those victims who had already spoken out and who continued to speak out to me. One of the key witnesses in the federal trial was 15 years old, cut class every day to attend his 2008 trial, and was a super fan. And he picked her up and began abusing her and her girlfriend, you know, not long after he was acquitted. After that acquittal in 2008, his behavior only amplified and got weirder and more sickening. The testimony in court in Brooklyn last September, beating women, forcing them to eat their own feces if they broke his rules, which included sexually pleasuring him on videotape, and encounters with boys that he forced them to have that he was also having sex with. The underage boys was something I'd never even reported. That only came out in trial. You know, the man was a monster. And to laugh, ha, 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 sex in the kitchen, how funny. You know, I want to be your sexosaurus. You know, wow, R. Kelly is really horny and really funny. You know, there was plenty of record already that journalists had ignored. And it took, you know, the BuzzFeed story of 2017 and then Dream Hampton, a brilliant black activist and documentary maker working on that first season of Surviving R. Kelly, to really introduce people to the women. You know, the women were ignored for most of this. And then you meet them and you see woman after woman after woman telling the same story about when they were girls and when they were abused. And they cannot all be lying.
Jim, as you're shouting to the heavens in the reporting, this is so very wrong. Please, people, listen to this. It's happening in plain sight. He's telling you about it in his song. All of this is wrong, and it's been wrong for decades. In all the places where you would get personally appalled while dedicating yourself to this work, what is that the most appalling thing that that these women, or is there something more appalling than that, that no one was listening and they weren't even being mean about it? They were just asking for help.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not a human being, much less a journalist, if you see a woman who has been sexually abused, sexually assaulted, saying no one is believing me, no one is listening, and you don't do what you can. You know, I don't think, Dan, you'd be walking down the street and see a woman getting hit or abused and not act. right? You're a big guy. I'm a big guy. You know, we would do whatever we could, yell, shout, scream, call the cops, blow the panic whistle. Yeah, I think that's number one. But number two, there's a special place in hell for Judge Vincent Gaughan, who presided over that trial in 2008, allowed it to take 6 years to go to trial when there was this horrifying evidence, nearly a half hour long, of sexually abusing a 14-year-old, not just raping her, urinating in her mouth. I mean, she was trash to R. Kelly. And here it is on video, and Judge Gaughan bent over backwards to make it all about one girl on one tape when there was already so much evidence of Aaliyah and five civil lawsuits. You know, I will add, he presided over the shooting trial of Laquan McDonald, shot 16 times in the back. And that cop, you know, did 2.5, 3 years. You know, race and sexism, misogyny and racism are intertwined here. They are the plagues of American society today. They're getting worse. The divide is just becoming worse. And we are not, I mean, look at, you know, the cops just arrested a 21-year-old kid who had five guns and 17 knives and killed seven people and hurt 31 in Highland Park here outside of Chicago, right? And when they arrested him, they said, "Would you please lie on the ground?" And they shot a young black kid in the back 70 times in Akron, Ohio. What's the difference? I mean, I'm not the first to point that out. Many columnists are writing about that. But the white kid gets the deference. The too often the black kid gets shot in the back.
On that note, Jim, and I urge you to listen to Sound Opinions. He does have expertise in other areas that he is not, because you sound weary of talking about this, and I just can't imagine what this has been like for the women if just the mining of, because you've just dedicated, you. I understand wanting to move, like, can I get back to my life? But this is the burden. Mitch Albom talks about it when he wrote Tuesdays with Maury. If you're going to dedicate your life to this, then it becomes the life, the singular life thing that your expertise keeps calling you to remind people of these very basic things that tell you what's happening in America right now. Because I'm guessing as you watch all of this, I mean, I don't know if you consider yourself a political person or not, but you've done this reporting. It's not like you're surprised that what has happened in Chicago for the last 30 years of depravity, you see it now everywhere in American politics and culture and the daily stuff we're watching on television.
I wish that it weren't so. I wish that instead we could have a debate about the Kendrick Lamar album or champion the Wet Leg album.
All right. Can we do this next time? Can we do that? All right. Go ahead. You want to do Kendrick Lamar? I don't think. Tony, you want to do Kendrick Lamar with this guy? You want to?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What do you got on Kendrick Lamar? Let's go.
So, double-sided album. I thought Mr. Ron the Big Stepper was good. I was interested in how he brought Kodak Black in, and he was kind of a central theme throughout the album. What do you think about that, Jim?
I'm really troubled by the amount of misogyny on that album. Kendrick knows better. And Kodak Black, you know, I mean, there's also two shout-outs in a positive way to R. Kelly on that album, framed as a black man who was unjustly tried and convicted. Mr. Lamar, you are very wrong about that.
Wow, Tony, he really dragged you with his information.
Yeah. What did he drag me about? We're having a conversation.
Germany now. We could have this debate for half an hour, my friend. We did have it on Sound Opinions. And, you know, music matters. Music is important.
You had
music
this debate about, wait a minute, with who you had this
with
debate?
With Kendrick Lamar. Greg and I are two music critics, and we talked about the Lamar album. We were both troubled by the amount of misogyny and homophobia. You know, there's two songs where he talks about two relatives who have come out as trans, and, you know, he still is using the F word. And, you know, he uses the B word a hell of a lot. I don't know, but there's much to be mined there. He also was a singular voice in predicting Black Lives Matter, and the last two albums are nothing short of brilliant. Hell, he has a Nobel Prize. I don't have shit, Dan. I have the Dan. Prize of gratitude for coming and talking to you.
Did you forget my last name? Is that what just happened there?
No. I didn't know how to say it correctly.
Okay, that's okay.
It's Le Batard, right?
Yeah, close enough. It's okay.
I do appreciate
your expertise, Tony. Do you have any more with him? Because I am.
I got to go.
Yeah, he's got to leave. There's so much to unpack in that album. Dan was incredible, and it's such a stark departure from where he is now.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Don Lebatard.
I always trip out when guys go, man, you know, offensive tackle, man, the hardest play offensive. I said, please, man, your job, you a fat 300-pounder. All you have to do is stay in front of another fat 300-pounder for 3 seconds. For 3 seconds. One fat 300, other fat 300, stay in front of them for 3 seconds. mean.
Stugatz.
I got to go out here. I got to fight a dude to come off the line of scrimmage just to get into my route, go run a route, fake another dude out, go turn, catch a ball that's being projected down the field fast, flying somewhere between heaven and earth, snatch it out the air, mid-air, come down, put my feet on the ground, all while somebody trying to take my head off, and I don't get a cheer until I get in the end zone. I'm like, please. Come on, man. Let's be real.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Represented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Birthday behavior. Have you ever seen that on social media? People are like, birthday behavior.
No.
No?
I have a bit of a sad admission, which is my 30th birthday is a month and a half, and I have done absolutely no planning. I'm not enthusiastic about it.
You don't plan your own birthday.
Yeah, that's why would true, you plan yeah. for your
no,
own birthday?
But like,
your own birthday.
People are like, oh, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What gifts do you want? I'm not feeling it.
So yours is in a month, you said, right?
Month and a half.
Okay, so my birthday is in 19 days, and I haven't thought about it once.
Billy has been unbelievable.
He's such
today.
An evil cat, I mean, dude. He's the worst.
Tony goes to him, hey, I got something for you. And Billy just goes, I don't care.
No, Billy.
That's the worst.
I'm just like, before I can even begin.
But then I say it, and he actually wants to talk about it now.
Let's examine this. I need to examine this for a second. I was working.
I had to save the
people. You were not
someone has to keep this shit moving. You know what I mean?
Oh, please. Yeah.
You're keep always there for us to always keep this shit moving, Billy. And you delight in Tony's failures. I've never seen a work environment like this before in my life where I can so clearly enjoy
that.
You undermining Tony and Lewis, enjoying whenever it is they're incompetent. And so I go to you with expertise. How did you experience me? Me throwing the hip hop expertise of the show to Tony, who was not expecting it, and him getting buried by Jim DeRogatis. As Jim DeRogatis broke down the Kendrick album much better than Tony did and told Tony a bunch of things he did not know.
Well, Tony's whole thing was, Jim, I like this song. What'd you think?
No, that's not what happened. Again, you don't know anything about what you're talking about, first off. The entire album, it's a two-part...
Seems like you didn't
It's a
either.
Two-part album. Okay, yeah. Sorry. He does this for a living. I do it for recreation. My bad. Okay, he broke down societal issues with the album. I was just talking about, hey, there's a lot of Kodak Black in this. Why is that a theme, right? Which plays onto other stuff that he was talking about. And then he's obviously talked about this a million times before and steamrolled with excellent points. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay.
No, but
my bad.
No, but okay. I want to examine for a moment how much Billy enjoyed that in a bit of a surprise.
I felt bad for Tony there, to be honest.
Why are we feeling bad? Like,
I felt bad.
If that was another 5 minutes,
I got bit by a dog. And you lost a tooth.
No, it's been a bad week, Dan. You know what? It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday. Whatever day it is, it's already been a long week for me.
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes, I got bit by a dog and chipped my tooth.
Yeah.
It's 1:51 Wednesdays. What do you mean you don't know what day it is?
It's been a week already. Yeah. Anyways, if that conversation went another 5 minutes, we would have had a really interesting conversation. The problem is he had to get out to talk to Germany and it was like 30 seconds here it is, misogyny, sexism, homophobia, bam, what do you got? And I'm like, Kodak Black is there, okay.
But that's how I experienced it too. And
okay, it wasn't just me then.
And no, I imagine the entire audience was like, hey, Tony came in clapping, dímelo mi gente.
Let's talk
hip hop. I'll give him something. I'll say this and that and Kodak Black. And then the guy buries you with, all of this is really problematic.
Yeah, he buried Kendrick, not me. I didn't make the album.
Well, but he sort of dragged you.
It just dragged you like you're just being a fan and don't actually realize what's happening.
And Billy,
there.
This one made you feel bad because normally you feel very good when these things happen to Tony.
It's been a week. Again, dog bite, chipped tooth.
Yeah, the chipped tooth is becoming more of a problem. I bit my lip like 3 times on the sharpness of my chipped tooth. And it's
Which
it's
tooth
bad.
Is it?
It's like my middle one right here to the
bottom?
Left. Yeah, bottom row.
Playing basketball? What happened?
No, I bit into a rib. Chipped my tooth biting into a rib after the dog bit me. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
Why? What do you mean, why?
Why did the dog bite you?
Yeah.
He's kind of an evil dog. And he's a buddy, a good friend of mine. He knows his dog is a bit evil. Oh. And he's an evil dog, right? So
There's no such thing.
No, there are. There, you know what? There's like 1% of dogs that are just mean.
There's no evil dogs. There's evil people.
There you
no,
go.
That's You're not. No, right. I didn't bite him. No. He bit me.
But people train
But Ron
dogs.
Told us that dogs know.
Dogs know what?
Like real hoopers know. Dogs know when there's bad people around.
So the problem is that this dog has bitten like 7 people.
All right. It's a mean dog.
It's a mean dog. I love him. Hey, I love the guy.
Why don't they train this dog not to bite people?
There's a bit of a PTSD when it comes to the dog. He was abused. Like, he's got like issues that are more than what we. You know, can handle
yeah, business. Not really he was sure rescued. What any of this has to do with how
it's been a week. It's been a week.
It has been a week.
So,
yeah, I got bit by a dog, Dan.
And,
right
and you think like you know, and the thing was is that if you think about the context of what happened in the interview, it's 20 minutes of incredibly serious, important conversation about a new story.
Is it an important conversation? I'm glad we're having it because I feel at this point all of this stuff is bouncing against each other. The politics. Look, man, as Joe Rogan is out here getting applause for saying, I'm not going to support Trump, as he endorses DeSantis, who's like Trump in a better costume.
Even a costume at this point. The whole thing about, DeSantis is pro-liberty. And then this weekend, a member of a medical panel in the state of Florida got removed from the University of Miami because she dared to say that kids under 5 should get the vaccine, and now she's gone. Like, there is nobody who is more sensitive to things that are critical of his government that will cancel more people than Ron DeSantis.
I mean,
did it with the Disney Corporation, one of the biggest companies in the state. This is the most sensitive governor on the planet.
It's appallingly stupid, but we can't escape any of this garbage. And yes, that was a serious segment with a man with great expertise who was warning us for 30 years. Hey, you guys want to pay attention to the dehumanizing of black bodies and women? And you want to pay attention? And the answer was no at every turn when it was all out in front of us. It was, we didn't want to talk about it. We didn't want to see it. And it was all like spilling like a disease and a pedophile predator that was singing nice songs.
Well, and as he said, it sort of became a joke as horrible as that is to say. Like, I knew that R. Kelly was a sexual predator like 10 years ago, and the idea that like he kept making new music that became popular new music was, oh, the sexual predator made a song again. Like, it became to a point where it was almost, it's gross. It was almost like a meme.
I mean, Dave Chappelle did a skit about this.
Right. Like, it's so out there. And it's so well known, and yet he just keeps persisting. Like, there's some people that even after they do awful things, they just persist through whatever personality they have. And it takes people saying, no, the criminal justice system needs to look at this again and again and again. And as he said, there's a judge, the first judge should, you know, rise in hell for not having done enough to save even more people from being victimized.
What in hell? Rot or rise?
Do you rise in hell?
You rot in hell.
Why would you rise in hell?
Why would you rise in hell?
You rot. Sent in the hell.
Yeah. If it's like a pizza and there's yeast, the heat might make it rise.
So right. The reason why I said that is because in Ace Ventura.
No, there's no yeast in you.
Ray Finkel's mother says, I hope Dan Marino dies of gonorrhea and rises in hell. Would you like a cookie, son? And so I figured rising in hell. I'm referencing the Ace Ventura scene where Ray Finkel's mom shows a tray of.
You've never seen Ace Ventura?
Nope.
Wow, that's...
Oh, she's too young.
Such a great movie.
I actually saw a movie this weekend that I had never seen before that my friend was like, oh, you have to watch this movie. You have to watch this movie. Like, you know, it's such an important movie for me and my generation. So we watched it. Man, that didn't age well. I feel like we say this a lot about 90s movies.
What was the movie?
The movie was Clueless. And the thing that didn't age well was that the main character has a relationship with her stepbrother.
Yeah, it's weird.
And they kiss at the end. And her stepbrother's Paul Rudd.
Huh.
It's weird.
But anyway, so in Ace Ventura...
that was awkward.
Ace Ventura walks into Ray Finkel's living room, and Ray Finkel's mother, who's still very upset about the Dan Marino thing, says, hands him a tray of cookies and says, I hope Dan Marino dies of gonorrhea and rises in hell. Would you like a cookie,
Are you
son?
Sure you heard that correctly?
I'm 100% certain.
All of us.
All right, let's all stop and watch Ace Ventura together.
Yeah.
But hold on. In the Zoom chat, we have a message that says from IMDb, Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Would you like a cookie, son?
I guess that's a fine deal, Chris.
Did you just hear it wrong all your life? Was it a loud room you were watching this in?
I've watched this movie 100 times. I feel like I'm certain.
Why?
Many times?
Oh, I love it. It's like legitimately one. Like it was, you have it on DVD as a kid, and I had like my parents had one of those SUVs that have the DVD in the car.
Oh, excuse us.
And so that was one of like the 7 DVDs that we had on rotation. So I must have seen this movie like 60
times. Jim Carrey's a genius.
Growing up, it sounds like
I mean, you know, it was a growing fad at the time.
You would say, but Jessica, you don't know the period of Jim Carrey's genius career when he, Jim Carrey, you associate him with what?
The Truman Show.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great film. Haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I feel like that holds up.
So you don't have any, you know Jim Carrey's silly side or?
Yes. He always made weird faces.
Yeah.
You've never seen In Living Color?
No.
Wow. Mask, but
the mask is
the mask is like a meme now though.
Yeah,
yeah.
But your introduction to Jim Carrey as a genius was the serious part of his career.
Yeah, The Truman Show. That was the first Jim Carrey, and I've seen that movie a million times because it's always on TBS. I feel like it was a good movie.
The point is that Jim DeRogatis was brought on to talk about R. Kelly, and then it turned into being questioned by a guy that got bit by a dog. And it ended exactly how you'd think that
but
would go.
But how were you experiencing? As we talk about repetitive behavior in plain sight of things, you're alleging now at the microphone in a way that I believe to be Stugatz levels soaked in insincerity that you did not enjoy Tony getting steamrolled.
No, I felt bad. I'm telling you, man, he's had a week. I've been seeing it weigh on him all week long, all one day that we've been here. And he's there, and then I ask him, he has a Band-Aid on his hand again like a dum-dum. And I go, how's the hand? And he goes, oh, I was in urgent care for 3 hours yesterday. I went to the wrong one. I told you, there's one that there's never a line.
So Dan, he's like, if you want to go to the urgent care, I'll tell you which one to go to. And then 30 seconds later, he's like, you know what? I don't want to tell you. I don't want you to go. So I had to go to the Coral Gables one. And it took me 3 hours to get there.
There's an important reason why I did that.
Are you guys friends?
Yes, no. Very much so, actually.
Oh. Well, there's a reason why I did that. And it's because... He's a bit of a chatty Cathy, and
no,
he's
not.
One of these people that, you know, tells everybody everything. And I found an urgent care that I can go in and out of relatively quickly, and it's within distance of Tony's, you know, it's in his
abode?
Vicinity, I would say. Not really, but it's close enough that he'd go to it. and I don't want to tell him where it is because I know he's going to tell people. And then the next time I have an emergency, I'm going to have to wait 3 hours because I can't trust him.
This is the Larry David shortcut in the most recent episode, or the most recent season of Curb, where he knows a shortcut how to get to North Hollywood or wherever. And he tells one person and all of a sudden there's a traffic jam and he doesn't show up to a funeral. As a
he result. Would tell people.
Is it Tony a Baptist one or is it an off-brand one?
I can't tell you.
No, tell me. Tell me. Is it a Baptist at least?
Can't tell you.
Tony, I don't mean to assail your character.
Oh, boy.
But you like to know the place that other people don't know mm-hmm. and tell them about.
That's
it.
Exactly
real
right.
Real urgent care patients.
That is a
know,
bad
right, really?
Character trait, man. Yeah. It's one of many of Tony's, honestly.
It's most often very helpful. Like, hey, I'll go to Tony. Hey, I really like Korean food. And you go, I know just the place. Like, you always have just
the
place.
I got the place for you, yeah.
So you got the place.
I'm that guy.
But in this instance, the place would have Billy in a line of 20 people.
Exactly.
But I don't care about Billy.
That's exactly my
point. But I don't care about Billy. I got bit by the dog. You didn't.
But you're proving...
Help me. Help you.
No, you just proved why I wouldn't tell you because you just said you don't care about me.
I know, but you don't care about me.
I do care about
you. No,
you
don't, or else you'd tell me. You don't want me sitting in 3 hour line.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Exactly. Same.
Neither do I, Dan.
I want to place in front of the audience the question. Person you trust least. Guy who will not read comic strips.
Weirdo.
Or guy you can't tell about the secret place because he's going to tell everybody about the secret place. And I think this is uniquely male. So can I make it just guy? Because I don't think women, Tony, there's a special kind of annoying here. You cannot trust him. And it's a bad thing to not trust.
He knows the place.
I think we should just do who do you trust least, Billy or Tony?
Well, no, the other one's Witty, actually. Witty's not reading the comic.
Yeah.
Wow.
That one also.
But
that would be a
real it's a runaway. Everybody trusts Billy. Nobody trusts me. But that's because we're different people. And my character's been assailed on this show by Chris Whittingham 17 times.
Wow. I've
psychoanalyzed. It's not
even
true.
I've only done it twice. Only done it twice. Called you a one-upper. And said you like to know a place.
Yeah.
The only two.
Everybody likes to know a place. What do you want me to go to the shitty place? It's crazy.
Whittingham, I do not think enough has been made of your obsession today as well. And it's somehow escaped the poll of needing and wanting to unfurl a newspaper in business
class. Sound? It's such a great sound. One of the great sounds of life. The topic that Tony wanted to get off the ground was the great smells of life. But one of the great sounds of life.
That's the one I told him I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I heard about the great smells of life, and none of you defined pungent correctly.
Oh, my God. Oh, Dan, it was infuriating.
I can't leave for 5 minutes.
He had cucumber on his list.
I'm telling you. If you put a cucumber on something,
it's not pungent. You guys don't know what pungent means.
Yes, he's right.
I can't leave for 5 minutes without you guys doing an entire segment on things being pungent. And cucumbers don't taste like anything.
Yes, they do. They taste like aggressively like cucumber. Aggressively.
Yes, absolutely.
And perhaps I shouldn't have used the word pungent. I should have used the word invasive, perhaps, in that when you eat a cucumber with something, the whole thing tastes like cucumber. I understand that wasabi is more pungent than cucumbers. The only argument that I was making was that when you put a cucumber on something, I don't want to eat it because the whole freaking thing tastes like cucumber.
I'm going to need the bass to come down in your voice.
I'm going to pass out right now.
No, he needs to say it with his chest, Dan.
Pungent
right.
was defined incorrectly last week.
A lot happened while you were gone.
Yeah.
Pungent. How was the walk?
Was the least of our offenses. How was the walk?
It was good. Lasted 5 days. Good to be back, though.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.